This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Is it smart to live in a city? All that traffic, that congestion? Is it dumb to be caught in this urban gridlock, billions of people jammed together in a post-industrial 21st century mass?
We don't presume to know all the answers. In fact, we're counting on the cooperation of American industry to provide their very best thinking during the planning and the creation of our experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
That's better. The reassuring voice of Walt Disney talking about his city of the future. What a vision. He sounds like a smart fellow speaking back there in the 1960s about what in part became Epcot Center in Florida's Disney World. Why haven't all cities turned out that way? Or are they about to? This may just be the closest thing to Disney and other urban futurists' vision being delivered today in New York City. Hudson Yards on the west side of Manhattan, named for the railroad tracks it's being constructed over. 30 tracks that have rumbled and served passengers and commuters for more than a century. That made modern New York when they were first laid back in the 1800s. On top of all that, and beneath a dozen cranes, a new city within a city is rising.
So looking at the eastern rail yards, immediately in front of us is a blue crane. That'll be 15 Hudson Yards, the first residential building. Behind it is the culture shed. It will also have a retractable shed.
It's the biggest private real estate development in U.S. history, but more than that, it claims to be a model for the 21st century urban experience. Public schools sitting next to major corporation offices, parkgoers, and affordable housing units all together next to curated restaurants and superstores overlooked by what will soon be some of the most valued property in New York City. This is the smart city of the present that aims to define the future for all of us. And people have already been voting with their feet all over the world for the urban experience. Can 55% of the world's population that lives in cities right now be wrong? That's a number that's expected to rise to 66% by 2050 and over 85% of the world's population by the end of the 21st century. Meeting that need with an eye for economic growth, backed by solid infrastructure, reliable public health, all in a way that addresses climate change, this bold new vision declares that planned, intentional cities are smart and possible.
Smart. It's what our cities should be.
That's right. Smart cities. A vision taking shape here in New York and its advocates hope in every population center in the world.
In a mega city world, countries can be suburbs of cities.
We once built cities around harbors and railroads. Picture Boston's cobblestones or Chicago's skyscrapers. But what kind of city do you get in a global world? One where New York is closer to Hong Kong than to Buffalo. You get a city built around the airport. This is the Aerotropolis, a city with an airport at its center, the better to keep the global economy aloft.
This is actually a good moment to think enthusiastically and cautiously about the city of the future. 2016 is the centennial of the urban critic and mother of modern urban planning, Jane Jacobs, who warned long ago about grandiose developers peddling their urban vision.
This is one of the troubles with what I call the vision thing. The vision thing is an idea that somewhere or other in the future is a golden age that we should be working toward. And when we get it, boy, won't that be great.
The late Jane Jacobs represents a voice for human-scale development. Skeptical of cranes and billion-dollar budgets, she believed cities can't ever trade their street-level spontaneity for glass and steel sterility. The federal government and the Department of Transportation are both hoping to encourage intelligent solutions that achieve a balance of these when they announce the winner of their Smart Cities Challenge, issuing a grant of about $40 million. Technologies from Google and Amazon to one of seven finalists, communities from all around the nation. New York's Hudson Yards has seen plenty of public money, but it isn't close to finished. It has already changed this forlorn urban netherworld, with more to come.
We're going to raise it. We're going to raise it about 12 feet so that in 2018 you're going to be able to walk all the way from Ganswort Street up to Times Square on green parkland.
So you just raise it, lower it, you know, it's no big deal to you.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but in order to do that, we have to bring the street up.
That's Jessica Scaparotti, an executive with the related company that's developing Hudson Yards. She's not like you or me. When she looks at streets and brick, she imagines moving it all around like clay, fashioning it to be
the quintessential live, work, play environment. When Hudson Yards is complete in 2025, you're going to have 125,000 people a day that either work in, live in, or visit Hudson Yards. That's tremendous.
Of all incomes, or is it just sort of luxury, luxury, luxury? That's
no,
all you
know. No, all incomes. We will have affordable housing on site. Something most people don't know about Related is that the company was actually founded building affordable housing, and we have an entire division that focuses on affordable housing, and we believe that's an important part of any city.
But what's this city really built on?
Miles and miles of fiber capacity, a lot of connectivity between the buildings.
You're literally building Hudson Yards from the internet up, and the internet itself is all about connectivity, and therefore we're going to see an unprecedented level of digital connectivity both within Hudson Yards and in terms of its relationship to the wider world.
Those are the voices of Jay Cross and Dan Doctoroff, two of the project's main creators. What will all that fiber carry? Data from 120,000 daily residents and workers in the world's first quantified community. A neighborhood's worth of data and moving parts on every level. For trash collection, for instance, there will be pneumatic tubes running underground. There will be tightly monitored water and energy usage. The city creates its own power with a cogeneration plant, and it will monitor its own health 24/7. Smart city technology, a concept that's been around for the last decade or so. Anthony Townsend is author of Smart Cities, Big Data, Civic Hackers, and the Quest for a New Utopia.
The word smart cities kind of gets thrown around a lot and at times can touch a whole bunch of different progressive ideas about how to design cities or govern them better. We've always had technology to solve problems, but digital technology is a new set of tools that we have that are very versatile, and they're changing and growing and becoming more capable every day.
And so Jay Cross, president of Related Hudson Yards, sets out to make the most technologically responsive neighborhood in the United States.
We realized it's not just about connectivity, and it's not just about resiliency, it's about user experiences and creating an environment in which whatever the user experience du jour is can be implemented quickly and efficiently. Once you start to engage in that sort of infrastructure building, once the systems are talking together, now you've got an opportunity to, so now I've got a lot more data. Then the whole world of opportunity starts to present itself. And so when we start to blue sky what we think can happen at Hudson Yards, we've come up with over 100 user experiences that can range from keyless entry to your apartment and, you know, controlling your nanny cams to having a VIP arrive at your office and have them escorted seamlessly to your office in a safe and secure way, and everything in between.
Safe and secure and with big money, too. Estimates 3 years ago were that the smart city data-driven economy would be worth about $100 billion annually by 2020. Those estimates immediately ballooned to $408 billion, and now the latest estimate is $1.56 trillion annually by 2020. Google wants in, of course. Sidewalk Labs is essentially their subsidiary. It's run by Daniel Doctoroff today, who gave the Hudson Yards its name when he was deputy mayor of New York with Michael Bloomberg. To Doctoroff, Hudson Yards is history.
We are sort of in a new era, and we're just beginning to realize how powerful it might be. You know, if you look back over the last couple hundred years in cities, there have been three major sort of technological revolutions in cities. You know, one was the steam engine in the early part of the 1800s that brought people to cities, industrialized them, made modern sanitation possible. A second was the introduction and adoption of the electric grid, which made cities vertical, made them 24-hour, and made modern communication possible. The third was the automobile, which had a much more decidedly mixed impact on cities. But we're at the dawn of a fourth, and that really is one where you see a set of technologies that are converging all at one moment. We're all connected. We're connected with high-speed fiber networks, with smartphones, things are changing because we now have the ability to monitor things through location services and sensors and other things in real time. Computing power and the intelligence of computers is growing, and that is literally going to change almost everything that occurs in cities, from the way we move around, to the infrastructure we build, to the buildings and types of buildings that we create. Ultimately, it's going to affect the way we govern and interact with each other, as well as sort of the set of social programs like education and public safety and health that are so fundamental to society. And we believe that when you actually look at all of these technologies and you begin to imagine how they play out, they offer a remarkable opportunity to meaningfully improve quality of life. It's going to be fascinating over the next several decades, because these things don't happen fast, to watch that unfold. And our mission is to help accelerate that.
Doctorov Sidewalk Labs has traffic apps to ease congestion. There's an app called Flow, which they will donate to the winner of the Department of Transportation's Smart City Challenge. There will be Wi-Fi kiosks with built-in sensors. Google Cities coming to a city near you. Does that sound like a good idea? I'm not a guinea pig for Google, am I?
No, you're not a guinea pig for Google. We are very, very focused on kind of using technology, whether it's Hudson Yards or in other places, to improve quality of life. You know, one of the things that is core to this is figuring out how we kind of take sort of the ubiquitous connectivity and the data that gets produced and use it in ways that are both sensitive to the privacy of people, but also help them to have better lives. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do.
In your dream state, when I walk through the Hudson Yards typical streets, will the street lamps be different? Will the kiosks on the side of the sidewalk be different? Will I see anything that clearly indicates that some of this technology has been incorporated?
I think it'll certainly all feel very familiar. You know, we're not talking about a place that is going to look completely different, but the way in which you experience it, the way in which it's capable of adjusting, the way you're better able to share resources, all of those things will provide benefits over time. And so I said, it'll feel familiar, but hopefully it'll actually feel better.
I just don't think that quantification has anything to do with quality of life or what it means to be an engaged citizen of a great urban place.
That's Adam Greenfield, a new urbanist in the big data age, inspired by Jane Jacobs, who's keeping score at the beginning of this fourth era of the city.
There's very, very little that's actually neutral and objective. There are very few things where you can make an intervention and everybody universally benefits from that. There will always be some party who benefits, and there will always be some party that relatively speaking, loses out.
We'll hear from Greenfield and others who are holding developers accountable, or trying anyway. We'll hear from a community board member in New York who takes on some of the city's biggest developers. And we'll hear from a peer and disciple of Jane Jacobs. Stay tuned. This is Smart. The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.